Amen. Let us stand to confess our faith with our confession of the Apostles' Creed. Will you share in it together with me in unison? I believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he arose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated for a moment. Our scripture readings for this day are taken first from the book of Jeremiah, the 31st chapter, verses 31 through 34. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. Now from the Gospel of John, 12th chapter, verses 20 through 33. Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, Sir, we wish to see Jesus. Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, The hour has come the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled. And what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, an angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered, this voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. Beloved, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Prior to our hymn of preparation, I'm going to ask if Sister Bernadette Bailey will come forward. Sister Bailey is our HIV/AIDS ministry coordinator, and I will ask her to give us the introduction of our speaker who will come before us following the hymn of preparation. I will just add that I have met Brother Fuller previously in a meeting here at the Ebenezer Outreach and Development Center. So when I saw him this morning, I saw a familiar face. And he is someone who is diligent in the work of the Lord, in the fields of this HIV/AIDS work. And he is someone who has been involved in a number of areas of ministry to God's people. And so we will hear further about his background through Sister Bernadette Bailey. Sister Bailey, I am scanning to see where you are. And there you are hiding behind Brother Jackson. Okay, so if you're here, will you come forward and introduce our speaker? Thank you.
Family. Today I have the pleasure to introduce Mr. Henry D. Fuller. Mr. Fuller has extensive experience working in the field of HIV care. Mr. Fuller currently serves as a client relations executive with Capital Caring Health, one of the 15 original hospice providers in the U.S. that is now the region's largest nonprofit advanced illness provider. Prior to his employment at Capital Caring, Mr. Fuller was employed at Health HIV as a senior capacity building assistant manager. From 2018 to 2020, he served as director of community development and civic engagement for My Brother's Keeper, a program launched in 2014 by former President Obama in response to the death of Trayvon Martin. Mr. Fuller holds a BA in political science from Jackson State University and an MS in urban and regional planning also from Jackson State University. So now we will hear from Mr. Henry D. Fuller.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
As my grandmother would say, we ought to glorify because we didn't woke up dead this morning. Right? So as you can tell, of course, I want to thank Ms. Bernadette Bailey and this ministry, of course, the pastor in this church for allowing me to come here to share with you all. I'm many things. By the grace of God, I've accomplished a lot. But I'd like to tell people that I'm just a country boy from Jackson, Mississippi, the grandson of sharecroppers from Bolton and Canton, Mississippi, the son of factory workers from Jackson and Canton, Mississippi. I say all of that also because I am a PK. I bring you greetings from Hill of Zion Missionary Baptist Church in Bolton, Mississippi. But I share all of that because, believe it or not, each and every day as we rise, we very seldomly check in with ourselves. Very seldomly. We're parents, we're leaders, we're providers, but we very seldomly check in with ourselves. One of the greatest things that I experienced was attending a HBCU. And when we first got there in our freshman year, we were asked, who am I? Who am I? So, of course, we had a lot of colorful responses. But ultimately, it came down to we are merely a total composition of our life experiences, the environments we grew up in, and what we've decided to make of it. So, of course, in acknowledgement of National Week of Prayer for Healing in HIV and AIDS, I'm honored to be here. I'm honored here as a, as I said earlier, PK, who had to come out as a former city planner of the city of Jackson, Mississippi, and declare that there was a health emergency for HIV, and we needed to put resources there. I was called to serve as the State Bureau Director for Prevention for the Mississippi State Director, or rather for the Mississippi State Department of Health, at a time when we had a very, very racist governor that I'm sure you all are aware of, that we currently have now, at the time where COVID-19 happened. So as the leader of these funds, I had an obligation to comply with federal mandate or to allow our state government to utilize HIV resources for personal gain and contracts in times of COVID. Once again, that poor little black boy from Jackson, Mississippi, the grandchildren or grandchild of sharecroppers, was called to advocate for a group of people, even though I had not experienced the fruits of their labor. So this morning, I want to highlight tools of ending stigma. Stigma is such a powerful word. Stigma is a word that I was challenged with when I had to agree to become an advocate and an ally in the community for individuals living with HIV. While my father, at the time, was a bishop of a church, acknowledging that I would have to pivot from those things that I were taught, or I would utilize those things I were taught to empower the work that I do each and every day. Despite significant advances in HIV prevention and treatment methods, such as PrEP, pre-exposure prophylaxis, a daily pill that can be taken to prevent an individual from getting HIV, and PEP, post-exposure prophylaxis, a tool that an individual can take in the event that they believe that they have been exposed to HIV. Black Americans represent 43% of new HIV diagnoses, even though they make up only 12% of the population. In 2021, there were 13,672 people living with HIV in Washington, D.C. In 2021, 197 people were newly diagnosed. The CDC now, post-COVID, defines stigma as discrimination against an identifiable group of people, a place, a nation. Now, I, being a former student of Dr. Bob Moses, civil rights leader, one of the creators of a Freedom Summer, I knew politics had been at play. Stigma hurts everyone by creating more fear of anger found by ordinary people instead of focusing on the problem, the disease. Stigma can also make people more likely to hide symptoms of illness, keep them from seeking health care immediately, and prevent individuals from adapting health behaviors. Think about the individuals and your family members and loved ones you engaged during COVID-19. Think about the number of individuals said, I would love to stop by Miss Ann's house, but she has COVID. Think about if you were an individual that had COVID, the discrimination you experienced during that period of time. Take that feeling with you each and every day as you go and serve in the ministry. Groups who experience stigma may also experience discrimination, and this can be taken in the form of people avoiding or rejecting them. I'm sure we have examples of that. Getting denied health care, education, housing, or quality life resources. Stigma can drive people to hide illness to avoid discrimination, prevent people from seeking health care, as I said, discourage them from adapting healthy behaviors. Think about your loved ones who you know may have symptoms for various illness, but they refuse to go to the doctor's office because they're scared. Those individuals who may even have diabetes or hypertension, who may say, well, I don't want to go find out because my mama had the sugar. My daddy had the pressure, right? And it results in us what? Utilizing the emergency room as our primary care office, right? COVID saw that we need to change that trend by engaging in healthcare. But when we talk about addressing the need of ending stigma in the community, we must acknowledge the historical implications that have empowered Black people to believe that it is not in their best interest to engage in medical studies before medicines are released because of previous traumas. I acknowledge now, as an individual, as a PK, that each and every day that I go into this world, the energy I take, the attitude I take, all plays a pivotal role in the work we do each and every day. What can community leaders and community members do? Maintain privacy and confidentiality for individuals seeking health care. Correct negative language that can cause stigma or harm. And speak out against negative behaviors and statements. As a PK, I'd be remiss if I did not highlight some things that have empowered me. 1 Corinthians 13:4 through 7. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. Psalm 147 and 3, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Proverbs 17 and 22, a joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. Psalms 103, 2 through 3. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. Yes. So in closing, as I go back to my seat, who are you? How will you affect positive change? How will you empower others even at a time when you've been called to lead, when it's hard to get off the side of the bed each and every morning? You can't see hope coming forward. But we're reminded, faith is the belief in the things unseen. Yes. Yes, sir. I affirm victory in all of our efforts and our journeys. I ask for a special prayer, a blessing on this ministry, on the pastor, all of its membership. And I ask for covering and protection as we go forward and light a new legacy for the God that called us to serve in these trying times. Thank you. Amen.